Hi, I'm Samantha, a past guest on CJAM's Handy Link. You're listening to Handy Link on CJAM 99.1 FM, reaching high ground in Windsor, Detroit.
Welcome to Handy Link, sponsored by the Italian-Canadian Handy Capable Association. I'm your host, Cam Wells. First segment of our show today, we're going to have two of our favorite guests giving a discussion on self-image and disability. Please welcome Melissa Miner and Stephanie Craig. So tell me a little bit about your insights as to how self-image and disability can be connected in today's society.
Well, I think there's definitely can be a very strong connection between self-image and disabilities. When I was getting my undergrad degree in psychology, I did my honors thesis on the area of a disability called Turner syndrome and its effects on self-esteem and body image. And one thing that I found was that there was a very significant difference between women with Turner syndrome and women without when it came to the areas of self-esteem, body image, and different components of self-esteem, and that overall women with Turner syndrome had significantly lower rankings on self-esteem and body image than average women without Turner syndrome who perhaps weren't diagnosed with any significant disabilities.
How do you think this impacts how they get along in society? How do you think it changes them for having this perception that I'm going in with some sort of a difference and versus someone who just goes in and says, I'm living an able-bodied life and doing what I want to do?
Well, as much as we try to be open and inclusive as society, we still are people who label, and we still are people who accept labels and live up to those labels. So for students that I've worked with that have poor self-image, during performances and stuff, like you can tell it just in their body and their posture that they're not sitting up straight, they're not playing with confidence, and that affects how they play. And that just affects how, like, they live their lives. Just, like, being used to the fact that in their head or whatever, they're thinking they're not as beautiful as this, or they don't weigh as much as this, so therefore they need to cower away a little bit. In music, again, like, it translates to I'm not going to look good on stage, so I'm going to suck at this or whatever. And then that just translates into what they could think in their own lives.
Do you think we as a society are making any progress towards overcoming these labels and these perceived sort of barriers?
I really think we are, because there's, because I noticed, even through social media, that there's, people out there that sort of raise awareness by posing questions like, why does it matter that this girl is 95 pounds and this girl is 120 pounds or whatever? So I think that we do, like, we question it more so than in the past nowadays.
I agree. I think we definitely not only are questioning it, but we're consciously trying to make more of an effort to notice that sort of a thing. And social media has definitely helped that. I'm sure many people are familiar with a lot of movie castings where people will start complaining on social media over perhaps not casting an ethnically diverse person in a role that would have generally been meant for them. For instance, the Peter Pan movie that came out a couple years ago, and the actress who was cast as Tiger Lily. And I know there's been some other recent examples also. So I think people are trying to call out the media in their portrayal of individuals, not only of different ethnic diversities, but with different disabilities also. The majority of time when you have movie or television characters with disabilities, they're played by able-bodied individuals. And people are starting to call the studios out on that. And for example, at the Tony Awards this year, one of the productions that was nominated for Best Revival of a Musical was a production of Spring Awakening, which had an integration of able-bodied performers as well as deaf performers. And they simultaneously performed the songs in sign language and with vocals. And it was an amazing performance. And I know they've received a lot of recognition for that. So hopefully this will start to be a turning point where more people become more conscious of that.
Do you see any challenges toward overcoming the myths and stereotypes in society today?
What I tell some of my students in conversations about body image is that it's not really about how much you weigh, it's about how you carry yourself. So that literally speaks to like physical posture, but as well as like how you conduct yourself. Like that metaphorical term, I guess, how you conduct yourself in talking in school projects or whatever. But anyway, so questioning, like, how am I presenting myself as opposed to, oh, I look like this and I need to cower.
I agree. I think one of the biggest challenges is your own image of yourself and the labels you place on yourself. So that's a big enough hurdle to get over. And then I think also there's still, I think, unconscious labeling that happens with a lot of people and unconscious stereotypes. So if you're an able-bodied person and you're coming from a position of privilege, you're just so used to things being a certain way for you and perhaps being easier that you don't consciously think about what it would be like to be in a different position. And I think with all the educating and awareness that we're trying to raise, it's starting people to almost get outside of their own heads a little bit and look at things and consider things from the positions of others.
So if each of you could send any one message to the community about the need for equality and inclusion, what would you say?
I would say, again, just to try and get outside of your own head, whether you're an individual without a disability or an individual with a specific disability, and when you're going into situations, try and think, you know, in general about all the different possibilities and how you can make the situation inclusive for as many people as possible. And as well, try to engage more in advocacy in, you know, certain causes around areas of disabilities that interest you, because there still is so much change that needs to happen that I think if we come together more and create more of awareness specifically on social media and, you know, in the media and arts in general, I think there's still so many strides that can be made that if we all band together and create more of an awareness, you'll start getting people to think in that perspective where it will become almost second nature to automatically be more inclusive for individuals.
Yeah, and I think that going that route with the social media is, part of getting people to think differently and stuff is to, like, just pose the right questions and the right scenarios, because then eventually we'll become, like, a society who questions why do we think that this girl shouldn't be in that commercial for whatever reason, you know? So anyways, that we become a society who questions before judging, and then eventually a society who just can just think without, like, well, like, we'll always question, but, like, a society who can make, it's like making judgment calls, but not based on judgment, if that makes sense. Do you know what I mean?
Like, right.
Yeah. We'll see people for who they are, basically, without judging them.
I'd like to thank you both for taking the time out to do this.
Hey, thank you.
Of course. Fact is, no matter where we are in our lives, no matter where we come from, we all have a need to be accepted on some level. We have that basic need that says, it's a great big community out there, and I want to be a part of it. I want to explore my full potential, but I can't do that on my own. Individuals with disabilities are no different. The fact of the matter is, it is a matter of fact versus myth. We've all heard the myths and the stereotypes surrounding things like mental illness or what a person can or cannot do physically. But how do we know until we see for ourselves? Are we really that presumptuous that we would assume that we have all the answers? Our understanding, both technologically and in a human sense, continues to grow concerning people with disabilities. And the key is education and information, having an open discussion about it. And as the panelists said, going into any situation, just keeping an open mind, just waiting to see what course of events takes place. Truth is, personality-wise, people with disabilities, they're all unique individuals. That's as it should be. These are just people like anyone else in society, with potential, hopes, dreams, capabilities all their own. Truth is, as long as there's life, there's always hope. HandyLink will be right back after these commercial messages, so stay tuned.
ArtSight Inc., Windsor's artist-run center for the contemporary arts, is pleased to be the official organizer of the 9th Annual Summer Art Fest. From July 29th to August 13th, local artists will be showcasing their work and participating local businesses and venues in the downtown Windsor area. Come stop by at our satellite gallery on 307 Ouellette Avenue from noon till 5 p.m. to check out art from both emerging and established artists. A number of events are a part of this year's Summer Art Fest, including Part Art, Part Party, a Save Ojibwe fundraiser, and a free walking tour. Check out the 2016 Summer Art Fest Facebook event or visit artsite.ca/events for all the details.
Welcome back to HandyLink, sponsored by the Italian-Canadian Handy Capable Association. I'm your host, Cam Wells. Earlier in our show, we heard a panel discussion on self-image and disability featuring guests Melissa Miner and Stephanie Craig. The question's been resonating with me. How would self-image affect someone impacted with a facial difference? So, to that end, in this segment of our show, we'll hear from Anna Pileggi from About Face. So tell me a little bit about how About Face helps someone with a facial difference in terms of self-image.
So the mission of About Face is helping individuals with facial differences to find their inner confidence and strength and be able to, you know, face the world and pursue whatever ambitions and that they may have. And one of the areas that we work on is self-esteem. And self-esteem is developed and strengthened through self-image. Self-image is created or developed in ourselves through others. How do people see me, how people react to me, how people respond to me? It helps me develop my sense of self. It could be positive and it could be negative. So one of the ways in which we work with individuals is helping them to understand that cycle, how it works, and taking back their own power. I have the power to allow someone to affect me negatively by allowing myself or empowering myself to feel confident in my abilities, confident in my relationships, confident in my talents. I protect myself, if you will, from negative messaging, which helps strengthen my self-image. So we work in particular with adults. We work through like our adult retreat every year. We have monthly support calls. And we provide strategies to help them develop, analyze, look at situations and try to, you know, find a different way to manage a particular situation, perhaps that was negative. We do that through camp with our kids. So once a year, we have, in Ontario, for example, we have our Camp Trailblazers. That's 1 week in August. They will work on personal goals. They will work on strategies dealing with a bully in school, dealing with negative feedback, or, you know, challenges with teachers, perhaps. So helping them to look at a situation and look at it differently. How could I handle this differently? And we work with that with parents, because parents are the first role models for kids. So when I go out in public with my baby who looks very different and I get a negative comment, how do I model that response? How do I help that individual understand that their negative messaging is hurtful, so we're going to change that around? That will help empower my child in the future. So we try to work with the three groups at different life stages.
So is there any work being done to better educate society in terms of what a facial difference really means?
Yes, that's another sort of core pillar of ours, is around public awareness and trying. So we've, over the years, About Face has been around for 30 years, and at the beginning, our core programming was around the new parents and really helping them to come to grips with the situation at hand so that they could do a positive job in supporting a child growing up with a facial difference. The second core service we had was school programs. So we offered two school programs to help the other children understand that it's natural to be curious about people who look different. That's a natural human experience for everybody. Doesn't matter. But once people understand about the condition or the, you know, the characteristics of it, or the limitations of it, they can get comfortable with the person. And so our school program, the both of them, look at looking at the package and how do I process my feelings and my curiosity around someone's appearance. There's three key things that people are that create, I'm going to say, barriers to meeting someone who looks different. One is afraid. I'm afraid if I can catch this. I'm afraid that I'm going to hurt you if I touch you or play with you or you know, include you. The second is awkward. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to say. I don't want to say the wrong thing, so then I end up avoiding you. And then the third is, you know, just around compassion. I don't want to pity you. I'm not sure how to deal with this, but I feel badly about it. And I'm socially kind of in the middle where my friends are saying, ooh, this is not good. But I'm feeling like I want to help and I want to be a part of making this a little bit better. If we can address those three things with kids in particular, they are so much more open to including each other and getting over those fears and those awkwardness. So school programs is a big one. One of the things we started last year is vignettes, people telling their story, introducing themselves, telling them the condition that they have, and we have that on our website, where people can actually, you know, quote, virtually meet someone with a facial difference and recognize that they have the same ambitions and dreams and fears as everybody else. September is Facial Difference Awareness Month in Canada, and so we will run series of articles. We will post things and do things sort of on the internet and in the media. Not necessarily everyone picks up our you know press releases, but we try to make send out press releases and stories. But we also have three events going on: one in Winnipeg, one in Toronto, one in Muskoka. It's called Ride for Smiles, and RIDE is an acronym called for Respecting Individual Differences in Everyone. And it really is to try to build awareness, bring out the community. Let's create, a visual a group of people that look different and people who support them. And let's be public, let's be present, and to continue to build awareness around facial differences.
So what would you say is the greatest success that About Face has achieved in terms of awareness and education?
So I'm going to say our school programs have probably been the greatest success that we have had around awareness. We've been in over 6,000 schools over the years with our messaging. Our program is free to teachers, elementary school teachers who would like the program. We give them away for free, and then we just request feedback on how the program went. The second big one, I think, for us was the involvement of Paul Stanley from KISS. He was born with microtia. And when he was doing Phantom of the Opera, we connected, and we did a press conference and did some stuff together in the media, and that was quite educational and fun. He narrates the school program, so we revised our school program, and he narrates it. So bringing in a high-profiled personality who himself has a facial difference, I think, you know, really was a big success point for About Face. But then, you know, September Awareness Month, I think people are starting to recognize that this is a time of year where we try to be present in the community and more visible in the general population. And so that's, you know, continuing to build that Awareness Month is a way to go as well.
I'd like to thank you for taking the time out to do this, but if you can stay on the line for a sec, that'd be great.
Sure.
So many stories of people with disabilities just wanting acceptance, inclusion. So why is it we as a society at times find it so difficult to reach beyond ourselves, to ask, can I be a part of this person's life? Can I make their world just a little bit better? The fact of the matter is, no matter what a person looks like, sounds like, moves like, learns like, no matter what culture they're from, no matter what sexual orientation they may be, no matter what their beliefs, we are all entitled to respect, consideration, and acceptance. Fact is, we as a society don't want to be the ones to create the impossible standard. Oh, I'm not going to accept you because you move a little differently. Oh, can't accept you either. You have a bit of a facial difference. Past a certain point, you create a standard no one can live up to. And for what? Just so we can say that we're in a better position than someone? It's not necessarily true. A person who moves a little differently or has any sort of a difference, they're no less meaningful to society. They have no less potential, no fewer gifts to contribute. Maybe the only difference really is fewer people are taking the time to ask them, what do you bring to the table? What can you do to enlighten society? Maybe that really is the only difference. People and their comfort level. Fact is, if you just ask yourself one simple question, then you start to overcome. The question is, what is beautiful? To my mind, it's life. Whether a person has a facial difference or not, it doesn't make them any less beautiful of a person. How I define it is, if a person lives to their fullest potential and tries to be a part of society, and they feel that the world really can benefit from who they are and what they have to say. That is a beautiful person. Something like a facial difference or any disability, it can be very surface level. And if we're only looking at the surface, we're denying ourselves so much of an opportunity to get to know what the world's really about. Fact is, steady diet of all the same types of people, past a certain point, it simply doesn't enrich us, simply doesn't teach us anything we don't already know. We're going to choose to confine our ideals to simply those who look like us, or speak like us, or move like us. Then we're not tearing down any walls. We're creating new ones. We as a society don't need any more divide. Fact is, together we accomplish a lot more. And it's people like Anna and Melissa and Steph who are really serving to remind of that. For these are the people who see deeper. They see more than just what's on the surface. But the truth of the matter is, we are continuing to make progress. We are becoming more accepting. Awareness and education are always the key. But the important thing is not to rest on our laurels, not to say, we've developed this program or this policy to let people know what this really means. Let's let it fall by the wayside because nobody's bothering to monitor it. That is something we must never allow to happen in society. We must always remember disabilities are part of every community, everywhere. It is not a curse. It is not something to make a person ostracized. It is one factor in who they are. One of potentially billions of factors. So a person has a facial difference. Is that all they are, a person with a facial difference? Or are they also a brother, sister, son, a daughter, a student, someone with a job, someone who wants to achieve something, someone that people care about in the world? And that really is the key to it all. During the panel today, I was very much reminded that these people, no matter the disability, they are someone within society, a diverse, complex person. And recognizing that, you come to understand that this is not simply one dominant variable and everything else is subject to it. No. You come to understand that people with disabilities, they come in all shapes and sizes, all types. They each have a unique perspective. That's what I wanted to capture today, folks. The idea that no matter what a person's background, no matter how they've lived, how they've learned, they can all agree on one quintessential point, the idea of acceptance and equality. And this is something that we as a society should not be holding as a prize. It should be granted simply because a person is a person. Until we have all the answers, until we have proof to the contrary, should we not look at a person and say, this person can achieve, this person is capable? And even if we have quote-unquote proof, even if a person has a setback, who doesn't? You find a way to overcome. You find a way to rise to the occasion. That's what disability life is all about. This has been HandyLink. I'm your host, Cam Wells, reminding you we're all equal. So get on out there and have yourselves a good one. Something tells me you've earned it, folks. We'll see you next week.